Welcome to the Fundraising Leadership Podcast, where we talk about topics related to fundraising, leadership, coaching, and management for professionals in the nonprofit world. I'm David Langiuli.
And I'm Margaret Katz-Kann, and we are super happy to have Brent Berutis as our guest today. Brent is the president and CEO of the Partnership Group Sponsorship Specialists, which is an integrated sponsorship marketing agency. And he works both with sponsors and properties, as he calls them, which are those who sell sponsorships and look for money, such as charities, nonprofits, pro and amateur sports, municipalities, and such, to help them both put more money into their bottom lines. He has a background in the charitable and nonprofit sector for over 30 years and has worked as a director of development for a national charity and worked in professional sports from a sponsorship perspective. And I talked to Brent a little bit before the podcast, and he really challenged me to think about sponsorships a little bit differently. So Brent, do you want to kind of give us an introduction into how are sponsorships and philanthropy different? That was sort of our first point that we talked about.
Well, thanks very much, Margaret and David. Thanks for having me. It's great to be here. And I think that's a great question, Margaret, because when we really look at it, there is a distinct difference between sponsorship and philanthropy or donations. And they believe in the organization, they believe in the mission, and they feel good at the end when they give that money. That's what philanthropy is all about, or a donation. Sponsorship, on the other side, is when a company gives money, and the company could give money philanthropically. They truly could. They can say, hey, here's some money. We believe in your organization. Go use it, you know, to however you feel that it would best benefit your mission. That's a gift. Sponsorship, on the other side, is where that company turns around and says, hey, I've got $100,000 to give to you, charity, but I need something in return. I need to get my brand out there, or I'm having some PR issues and I'd like you to help me get through those PR issues. Or, you know what, I want to increase productivity amongst my employees. Therefore, I want to align with a charity that they feel good about and feel good about us supporting that charity. Or I may use it as a recruitment or retention for my employees. It could be that I want this to drive traffic to my website. I want it to drive traffic to my store. I want, you know, so there's a myriad of opportunities, business objectives and goals that that company has that charity is going to help them achieve long-term or short-term in return for that money. And if you as a charity can't deliver those, that company will probably take that money either to another charity, or they could go back to away from sponsorship to traditional marketing channels, whether those be television, radio, newspaper, magazines, digital, social, any of those channels. Sponsorship's just another marketing channel. And that's the difference. It's marketing versus giving.
Yeah, I like what you say there, especially with that word marketing, because in my experience, we're talking about two very different budgets on the corporate side. And typically the marketing budgets, depending on the organization, the corporation you're working with, is a much larger budget than the pittance that is sitting over in the corporate foundation where thousands of charities are going after $2,500 gifts. And so say more about this marketing versus philanthropy budget for the audience, because there may be some folks in the audience who are just completely aware that there are other dollars out there.
You're absolutely right. And as fundraisers, we often just go after that philanthropic budget. So what the company has in a donations budget, or go to a donations committee, or any of those things. And we look narrow casted for that. But David, you're absolutely right. There's a marketing budget, and that comes out of a whole nother channel for, and I'm going to expand on that in a second, but let me just give you a really quick example. And one of those examples based in Canada is would be equivalent to the Susan J. Coleman Foundation run for the cure in the States. It is the CIBC run for the cure. And CIBC happens to be a bank here in Canada, Canadian Imperial Bank of Commerce. And it's called the CIBC run for the cure. That contribution on an annual basis, and this is public public information, is well over $1 million a year. And for the naming rights of that event, that money doesn't come out of their philanthropy budget. It comes out of their marketing budget, and it also comes out of their human resources budget. And so when we start to look at sponsorship, we can expand from just tapping that small department of donations for a $50,000 gift or a $5,000 gift to add in the marketing department, which may have $25,000 or $50,000 a year for 10 years to give you. Or it may come from the HR department, or if the person that you're first speaking to is in the sales side. So World Vision Canada, when they were doing, and this goes for World Vision worldwide, but when they were talking to IBM, they kept talking to the philanthropic people who kept saying, yeah, we'll sponsor another child. Not that type of sponsorship we want to talk to you about. And once they could get beyond the philanthropic department at IBM and into the marketing department and the HR department and the sales department, all of a sudden, there are three other budgets that you can tap into, which are probably each 10 times the level that the philanthropic budget is.
Thanks, Brent. I think so many of the groups that I talk to and in my experience are stuck kind of in this small, I think you said narrow visioned or narrow minded, but this purgatory is the word that I want to use, where they might be tapping into the correct budget, but they're only thinking about like, oh yeah, we want to give you an event sponsorship for, you said 5,000. Sometimes the numbers are even smaller than that. And in exchange, we're going to put you in the program and, put your logo on our website. What's a way to think bigger?
I don't think it's necessarily a question of thinking bigger. It's thinking differently. And that would be, and I like to align this back to what most fundraisers do understand, and that's major gifts. And if we look at major gifts versus annual campaigns, we're sending out a direct mail or emails and the blasts go out and we're looking for that average gift of $32.58 or whatever that number is. And we're looking for the masses to give us those small amounts of money. And a major gift, and for a lot of organizations, that might be $2,500, or it might be $5,000, or it might be $15,000. Whatever that major gift is, we know that a major gift process is asking the right person at the right time for the right amount of money, and all of those have to come into place. And we cultivate that donor for sometimes 2 or 3 years before we make that $10,000 or $5,000 or $1,500 ask, because we want them to feel good about our organization. We want to make sure we're making the right ask at the right, all that. And we don't have a problem waiting 2 years to make that ask on a donor side. But what we tend to think is, oh, it's a corporation. We'll just pitch them a package. We don't need to know anything about them. So the shift is to go and talk to that sponsor just like you would a donor, and understand their business inside and out. That knowledge will then tell you, just like in the major gift process, how much money they can make a gift for or do a sponsorship for. So instead of looking bigger, it's about looking to understand their business and their goals and their objectives, and how can we at the charity help them to achieve those goals and objectives. And if we help them a tiny little bit, we're going to get a tiny little bit of money. If we help them a whole lot, we're going to get a whole lot of money. And so that's how it comes down. So it comes down in my mind is to go and cultivate like you would a major gift. And in a case of a major gift, it's typically one time until the next capital campaign or the next major gift ask, which might be 5 or 10 years down the line, or it might not be until there's a bequest. But in a sponsorship, if I got that same major gift level of $10,000 or $5,000 as a sponsorship, and it was a 5-year deal, that's now a $25,000 contribution rather than just a $5,000 major gift. And each organization is going to be different. So we have clients where a huge sponsorship is $5,000, and the majority of them are $1,500 or $500 or $1,000. We have other organizations where that top level sponsorship is $1 million, right? So everybody is going to be a little bit different. And you have to understand that when you're looking for that large sponsor to one organization, that might be $5,000. And what can we do to help them grow their business so that they can afford to give us $5,000? And there's truly a return on their investment. So
yeah, I like what you're saying. I especially around cultivating relationships with people within corporations, because it's in the end of the day, people, just like in major gifts, people are the ones who in corporations who make decisions about how they spend their dollars. And by getting to know the people and their interests, first developing relationships, just like in the major gift process, and getting to know what their needs are, and what value you might have to offer based on their needs. And each corporation might have different needs. You know, in some cases it might be they would want to be connected. I did a lot of this work on the university front because of recruiting. So they might have a sponsorship relationship because they want to recruit from your engineering school or your business school or whatever it is. So there are, I think, as opposed to major gifts, you have to demonstrate the value. And so I'd like you to just talk a little bit about how folks might think about the value. And then as a follow-up question, I want to caution the audience about these differences between gifts and sponsorships so that they get good advice on how they actually handle. This is good money if you can get it, but you have to handle it a little differently. So those are, it's kind of like a two-part question.
Sounds good. I'm going to need a nudge on the second half.
We'll hold up a cue card for you.
Right. Since we're on radio, what we used to call radio, we'll hold up a cue card.
That's good. I'm going to backtrack a little. And you talked about, and you're absolutely right, David, when we stop to look at it, it's building relationships with individuals. What we see all the time, though, is that, and I'm going to use the example of a gala. Who's ever on the fundraising committee for the gala, what happens is they go out and have relationships with their suppliers as a business or whatever, or relationships in their community, and they tap people on the shoulder, and those people give money to that gala. But when that person leaves that fundraising committee, that money goes with them. So the real key here is, you build a relationship, as you described, with that individual, because it's individuals and companies that make decisions. But where you want to get to in your sponsorship is that if that person moves on to another department, or that person leaves the company, or a new president or CEO comes in and has a new vision, they can't look at it and say, you know what, Habitat for Humanity, we've given money to for the last 20 years before I got here, we don't need to do that anymore. That's not my charity of choice. You know, this is who I want us to be, you know, supporting, you know, and do a sponsorship with. Well, if Habitat Humanity is helping them to drive business and traffic, and you have the metrics and you show them, then it's no longer an emotional decision. It's a business decision. Why would I stop the sponsorship with Habitat for Humanity that it costs me $20,000 a year, and I'm generating $400,000 in gross revenues as a result of that, that I can track and see? If I move my money over to breast cancer, will it yield that same same $400,000? If not, this is a bad business decision. It has nothing any longer to do with charity. It has to do with a business transaction. So that's the first part. Not even answering either of your two questions. And I'm going to need the cue card though to come back to that first question. And I apologize.
Yeah, the second part of the question is like, what would you counsel in terms of getting advice? Because these sponsorship dollars need to be handled a little bit differently in terms of accounting for them.
So really good question. And the prior one to that was, how do you value these, right?
That's the other piece, yeah.
Yeah, so first of all, there are valuations out there. You can go online and dig around on our website at partnershipgroup.ca. If you dig deep enough, you can find all the metrics that we use as a company. You can also go to Amazon or amazon.ca or to our publisher's website, go to our website, scroll down. I have a book out called Reality Check, Straight Talk About Sponsorship Marketing. And it has all the metrics in it that we use to value for a sponsor. So when we get hired to do that business, to come in to a charity and look at their galas and look at their walk and look at their communication side and all those elements, and identify every single asset that could be sold and determine what the specific marketing value of each of those assets, whether that's a logo on the sponsor's page of a website, whether it's a speaking opportunity, whether it's a right to sample product, whether it's an endorsement, every one of those has an individual value asset. And all those formulas, everything is there. We share all our work. So the book is, you know, I think in US dollars, it's probably about $25. In Canada, it's about $50. So but that'll give you all that formulas. But to really, for your audience to understand this, sponsored logo on a web page is worth about a third of a cent times the number of unique users that go to your website. So if you have, my math's not real good, but if you have 1 million people that go to your website every year as unique visitors, multiply that times 0.003, and that'll tell you what the value of a sponsor's logo on your sponsor page is worth. And so every single one of those assets can be identified with a new empirical data valuation. And that's how you run a sponsorship program, so that you're using the same metrics that the sponsor is using. So that when you say this package, we've calculated it out and it costs, or the value of the stuff you're getting is worth $5,000, and we're going to sell it to you for $4,000. We're going to discount it for you. Well, when they look at it, or they send to their agency, somebody like us, and we look at it, we're going to come up with that same number approximately, that it's worth $5,000. Because if you're asking for $20,000 for this, our answer to our client, the sponsor, is going to be, you know what? It's only worth $5,000. Ask for a charitable tax receipt for the other $15,000, because that's where this difference comes in, is that part of that now becomes a donation and part of it becomes marketing. Right. Marketing typically is something you can write off as an operating expense. So this is getting into your second element. It's an operating expense, just like payroll, or if you bought radio, as you mentioned, that we're on, or television, or you bought anything else, it's a marketing channel. So you write that off as an operating expense at 100% deductible before you calculate profits and decide how much money you have to pay the IRS, or in Canada, the CRA. If you actually make a donation, you typically get some sort of credit towards the taxes that you owe, as opposed to writing it off as an operating expense. So most companies, most financial people and companies, we've trained them over the decades that, oh, if a company gives to a charity, whether it's a sponsorship, a marketing sponsorship, or a gift, it's all the same. And it's charitable, tax deductible. And what happens to that is that then the company is forced to try to make a charitable gift instead of a sponsorship, where if they do a sponsorship, they can actually write off more money and pay less taxes because it's a marketing expense.
Good. I appreciate all of the technical know-how, but I would love to ask you to share, what are some of the best examples, sort of the most creative, mutually beneficial examples that you've helped engineer or that you've read about, heard about?
Well, I think that, and there are several examples that that are on the blog that that people can go and look at. I think that the one that sticks out for me is how we can do this with both donors and sponsors. And David, you had mentioned your work with post-secondary institutions. And so if we have an alumni who's wants to make a donation, that's great. Let's take the money, right? And number two, the example I think that I used in the blog is if that alumni happens to own a car dealership, how can we help them sell cars? Because their major gift may have been $10,000 to the university. But what if we can help them sell 5 cars a year? And if they're a Ford dealer, Ford gives them each for every car they buy from Ford to sell, they get a $5,000 marketing budget. So they've got $25,000 of marketing budget available to them if you can sell 5 cars for them. So all of a sudden you sign a 10-year deal, it's $250,000. And so I think that that's where we need to be looking is, how can we help these alumni or people that care about our mission that are either influential, they're a CEO or in the C-suite of an organization, a business, or they own a business? And how can we show them now that they've made a gift, how we can help their company? And it works in the reverse too. When we turn around and look at it and say, okay, this company has come on as a sponsor. How do we now talk to not only their C-suite, but their individual employees? Because they may have come on as a sponsor to a gala, or they may have come on as just a sponsor to the organization as a whole, not specifically to an event like a walk or a gala or anything like that. And if there's truly a alignment between us as the charity and the sponsor and the company and its employees, and the employees are motivated and they're volunteering for our charity and all those sorts of things, that's a door that opens that we can start looking at annual gift campaigns with their employees, which may in turn turn into major gifts and go right up the pyramid to a bequest at some point in time. So I think that that's what we need to be thinking about is, how can we make philanthropy and sponsorship work together in all these scenarios? Margaret, I'm not sure if I answered that question fully. And if not, you can re-steer me. As you can see, I get all excited
Yeah, well, you had shared an example with me that I loved and felt inspired by, and it was about people being able to use their food cards at one specific place. So yeah, maybe share that one quickly and then
this is not our story. This is not something we had anything to do with. It was the Chicago Food Bank, and they had traditionally gone to Walmart and asked for a gift. And in that process, I always say that's sort of like the Chicago Food Bank standing outside the back door of Walmart waiting for them to throw some scraps out, and that, you know, they got $100,000 or whatever. And then when they stop to look at it, they're going, okay, we have in the greater Chicago area, we have 50,000 people that we give food stamps to. And if we give 50,000 food stamps to 50,000 people each year, then, and they're each getting $1,000 a year, that's, you know, a lot of money. That's way, way more money. And I have a choice. I can either tell all of those, I can't control them, but I can tell all those people that we give food stamps to, hey, here's your food stamps. We'd really love it if you'd go shop at Walmart, because they're our partner. And if you spend the money there. So they did a survey and they actually found out that as like 60 or 80% of the people were going to Walmart already. And so instead of going to the back door and rapping on the back door and waiting for the Walmart to throw out their annual scraps to them for $100,000, they went in the front door, right past the greeter and right upstairs to Sam Walton's office and said, hey, listen, I got 50,000 people who are each spending $1,000. I have two options for you. I can tell my 50,000 people they should be taking their food stamps and shopping for their groceries at Kroger or Albertsons, or I can tell them they should shop at Walmart. Where would you like me to send them? And I can send them to Walmart for $5 million a year. And boom, Walmart writes the check for $5 million. That's a far cry from $100,000. But it was a business reaction, not a emotional reaction.
Yeah. Well, you've given the audience a lot to think about in terms of sponsorships, but more generally, I would say in a comprehensive view of relationships with corporations, and to think bigger about how you might monetize, we could just say that, the relationship in a better way than, you know, little $1,200 or $2,500 event sponsorships, which are a lot of work. And, but this does take work also. This takes some thinking through or consulting with you and your folks to help think through if you're not familiar with this kind of, this is what we call strategic thinking, folks, right? What I am going to do and what I'm not going to do. And, you know, a lot of people just throw this phrase around, you know, think strategically. Well, if you're chasing $2,500 event sponsorships, you're thinking tactically, not strategically. So, and if you need some help, I think on the blog and in the podcast notes, we're going to have a link to you, Brent, so that folks could reach out to you if they want some help with this. Yeah.
Yeah. Brent, if you were going to leave our listeners with one practice, one thing that they can try, what would that be?
I think, I mean, it's a great question. And I think that, going back to what you said, David, about the relationship side and thinking strategically, those are the two key elements. And I think that for your listeners, if I could give them, ask them to do one thing that would help to make a difference for them strategically long-term and to help them to build relationships, is the next time they go and sit in front of a sponsor, the next time they go and sit in front, whether that's by Zoom or face-to-face, and that's not sending a package to them, but that's sitting down in front of them. Instead of telling them about your gala, your walk, your event, your organization, and how long you've been around and how many people you've saved, and instead of spending all that time talking about you, start the conversation with, tell me about your business. Let me understand. And what I really want to find out from you is where you're hurting right now, and see if I can help you, if our organization can help you to make more money. And that's the key. That's the thought process. Philanthropy is about how they can help you. Sponsorship is about how you can help them. And if you can do that once, it comes a lot easier. And do it twice and do it three times. And all of a sudden, what's going to happen is these companies are going to look and say, you're not here to ask for money, are you? No, I'm not. I'm here to see if I can help you to make more money. And I know in exchange for doing that, you'll pay me just like you would pay a radio station or anybody else.
Wow, I think that's a challenge, Margaret.
I think that is a challenge.
I think some of our folks in the audience are going to be triggered by that, which is a good thing.
Yes, we know it's a challenge when we expect people listening to go gulp.
Yeah, like yeah. You want me to do what?
Can I tell you one quick story? I know we're at the end here.
Sure, tell a story and then we'll wrap it up for today. Yeah.
This was another Canadian story, but it was the MS Society in Canada. It was specifically in a market in Winnipeg, and they had been pursuing the lottery organization, the people that run the lotteries in Manitoba, the province or state, and they not only run, you know, like the lotteries where you buy the weekly tickets, but they also run all the casinos in the province. They're not independently owned, they're not privately owned, they're actually owned by the government under their lottery corporation. And they had been, MS Society had been pursuing these guys for going after them to try to get them to be a title sponsor, because their title sponsor had been every year paying them less and less money and had switched over to product instead of cash. And it was product they didn't need. So they thought they'd go in. So they kept trying to get an appointment. And they couldn't get the appointment. Finally, the director from the lotteries calls the fund development person at MS and says, hey, I've got some time. Can you come in tomorrow afternoon? I know you've been trying to reach me. And so that fund development person and her director of development called me right away and said, oh my gosh, what do we do? What do we do? What proposal do we build? And I'm going, all the money you've spent with us over the last 9 months, just do what we talked about. Don't take in a proposal, go and talk to them. And so they did. And they sat down and the first thing they said was, hey, tell us about the lotteries. Tell us about where you're hurting and how we might be able to help you. I just want to understand, like, are the casinos really busy? Are you selling lots of lottery tickets? Or where's an area that you could really use a boost in your business? And so it went from there. After the meeting was over, I got a call from our client. She was so excited. It was wonderful. You know, they liked our meeting. Everything went really well. We didn't ask them for money, blah, blah, blah. And then my phone rings. I'm on cell and it's got a call display and it says Manitoba Lotteries. And I don't know anybody at Manitoba Lotteries. I don't have any clients there. I don't have any contacts at that brand. So I say to my client, listen, I got to take another call thinking, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to find out the real truth now, right? And so I get on the phone with the lotteries lady and Crystal says, are you with the partnership group? Are you Brent Baruti's? And are you with the partnership group sponsorship specialists? And I'm thinking, should I lie? And
we don't counsel that to anybody, Brent.
Yeah. And so,
truth telling.
And so I said yes, and she said, "Well, I just met with the MS Society, and I can tell you, in my 25 plus years of doing this, no charity has ever walked into my office and asked me how they can help me." Everybody comes in asking me for money. Mm-hmm. I can tell you that we're going to build a program with them. Please don't tell them this yet. Probably in for 40,000 cash and 40,000 in value in kind that we're going to buy media for them because their policy state they can't buy media. Mm-hmm. So we're going to give them an $80,000 sponsorship. And that's what eventually happened. Mm-hmm. The previous sponsorship for that walk was $10,000. So it was truly about asking how you can help rather than ask them for money. And that's the sort of stuff that happens. Sorry, I digressed there.
It's great. I think that's a great example for folks to ponder and realize possibilities as they're thinking about their own, you know, charity and how they might think bigger.
Yeah, And also this beautiful idea that sometimes, you know, you don't have to have the proposal. You don't have to have the answer. You just have to have creativity and openness. And the person you're working with can and maybe should have a big role in designing what a partnership looks like.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Brent, for sharing your wisdom with us and the audience. If folks want to, you know, contact you, what's the best way for them to find you?
Best way is our website, partnershipgroup.ca. So www.partnershipgroup.ca. Or they can reach me directly by email, Brent, B-R-E-N-T, at partnershipgroup.ca.
Yeah, brilliant. And we'll link to you in the show notes, and so that folks can also reach out to you. You seem very open and have lots of good advice for folks who want to go this path. And thanks for joining us on the podcast, which is brought to you by Fundraising Leadership. We provide unique coaching and training programs that powerfully transform how nonprofits work in order to get results. Please subscribe if you haven't already done so. You can find us on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music Podcasts, and Spotify. And if you're enjoying the show, please rate and review us so we can help others find the podcast. Now, go put this into practice.